Fuck with the guy and go for it. Give off to them. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om bhagavate vasudevaya. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 86 Verse 32 Svavachastadratam Katum Asmadrigochara Bhavan Yadattai Kanta Bhaktan Me Nananta Shrira Japriya. to your own vacha statement taught that rutam true kartam to make asmat our drik to the eyes gochara accessible bhavan you yat which atta spoke ekanta with a single aim bhaktat then the devotee may my na not ananta lord ananta shri goddess shri adsha unborn brahma priya more dear. Translation, you have said neither Ananta, goddess Shri, nor unborn Brahma is dearer to me than my unalloyed devotee. To prove your own rude words true, you have now revealed yourself to our eyes. What person who knows this truth would ever abandon your lotus feet? When you are ready to give up your very self to peaceful sages who call nothing their own. Appearing in the Yadu dynasty, you have spread your glories which can remove all sins of the three worlds, just to deliver those entrapped in the cycle of birth and death. Obeisance to you, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, whose intelligence is ever unrestricted. Obeisances to the sage Nara Narayan, who always undergoes austerities in perfect peace. Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti comments that the king offered these prayers to encourage Lord Krishna to remain at his home for some days. The king thought, since contact with the Supreme Lord can free anyone from misconceptions and doubts, Krishna's presence in my home will fortify my intelligence so that I can withstand the onslaughts of material desires and its expansion as Naranarayan Rishi, the Lord, always resides in Mbadrik Ashram for the good of the whole land of Bharat, and so he may also create good fortune for the land of Mithila by remaining here for at least a few days. Since Lord Krishna's propensity is toward peace and simplicity, he will certainly prefer my simple home to the excessive opulences of Dwarka. Please stay a few days in our house, along with these brahmanas, O all-pervading one, and with the dust of your feet sanctify this dynasty of Nimi. Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus invited by the king, the supreme lord, sustainer of the world, consented to stay for some time to bestow good fortune on the men and women of Mithila. So here is the prayer of the king, Bahulaswa, and he introduced it by glorifying the Lord and showing his greatness. But in this particular verse, then he glorifies the Lord because of his attraction to the devotees to such an extent, he says here, that you have more attraction for the devotees than you do have for Ananta, Lakshmi, and Brahma, who are also devotees. But he's indicating that the Lord, by his inconceivable conduct, is able to satisfy the humblest devotees. These devotees like Ananta, Lakshmi, and Brahma are very exalted and very famous in the scriptures and the world, and they're glorified everywhere. Whereas a person like Bahulaswa looks like an ordinary king. But he is also a devotee of the Lord, so that the Lord will come and personally appear before him is something very extraordinary. So, though Brahma and Lakshmi and Ananta are great devotees, he does not personally go and visit them as he comes here to visit Bahulaspa. So there is some special attraction for these devotees that he has. Of course, it is called, he calls these devotees the Ekanta Bhaktas. So they have a particular type of pure attraction for the Lord, and the Lord is attracted to that. And therefore, he's willing to do special things for them. So, this special favor here is that he personally appears before Bahulaswa, not just through meditation, like a yogi or some other person, maybe see the Lord in meditation, but here he actually personally gets to meet the Lord. And not only that, the Lord comes to him. So, it indicates some special favor of the Lord towards his devotees. On the other hand, we should not disregard Ananta and Lakshmi and Brahma and say, therefore, they're not such great devotees. This is the mood in dealing with different devotees is different. So, of course, another point is that these are pastimes of Krishna. And we know that Lakshmi, though she appreciates Krishna, she cannot enter into his pastimes because the mood is different. Brahma was allowed to enter into a slight degree, but nevertheless, he could not really enter into the Vrindavan pastimes either. And of course, Ananta is usually associated with Vishnu. So, again, so they're in a little bit of a different category and not so approachable. Or they cannot approach Krishna so directly. So Bahulaspa is particularly a devotee of Krishna. So that's his good fortune, that he's involved in the pastimes of Krishna when he appears on earth. And therefore Krishna has a type of special mercy towards him because of that. Therefore we understand that it's not that the Lord isn't merciful to everyone, but he's particularly merciful to those devotees who are directly participating in his pastimes and have special qualification to see Krishna. Of course, Bahulaspa was also not the same as the devotees in Dwarka, nor is he the same as the devotees in Vrindavan. A little bit different again. So, the Yadus have constant association with the Lord in Dwarka, more or less constant association, so that puts them on a higher level. Here, Krishna is coming for a few days, and then he goes back to his kingdom again. So, the association is not so constant. So, from that we can also gauge the amount of attraction the Lord has for particular devotees, and consequently, the intensity of bhakti of that particular devotee, and then the attraction of the Lord for that devotee. So the more intense bhakti, the more the Lord is responding. So if one is intense bhakti, one expect the Lord to be associating with that devotee more. And that we find is also true. Those devotees that get less association, therefore they're considered to be of a lesser category in their devotion. And this is illustrated by the when Narada Muni searches for who gets the most mercy, and he goes to various persons, and even though he meets great devotees like Hanuman or Prahlad, etc., he says, actually we don't get the mercy because look, we're not with the Lord, he's somewhere else. Then finally they point towards the Yadus, Pandavas, or like that, because they get more association. In this way, those who are get more association with the Lord are considered to be on a higher level. Their bhakti is on a higher level, and consequently the Lord is more merciful to them. He cannot bear to be separated from them. Nevertheless, anyone who is fortunate to get any association with the Lord is considered to be a wonderful person. Narada Muni only saw the Lord once when he was doing his sadhana. So even that was good fortune, so to speak. So that Bahulaspa gets to see the Lord, that is very great fortune. And not only gets to see the Lord, he gets to see Krishna. So Bahulaspa recognizes that good fortune that he has, and therefore he makes a statement that you're so merciful to your devotees, dearer than you, you have more attraction to them than you have for Ananta or Lakshmi or Brahma, because you've manifested yourself to my eyes right now. So this illustrates the attraction of the Lord for his devotees, as we see in other cases as well. The Lord makes special efforts to reveal himself to his devotees, and that puts them in a very special category. Therefore, in the next verse he says that who would ever give up your lotus feet when we understand your great quality, that you you give yourself to your devotees. So who could ever give you up because you're so attracted to your devotees? And moreover, you've appeared in the Yadu dynasty to deliver people of the three worlds. So you have special compassion for all people. It's not only for a few people, but you like to deliver everybody who's on earth or in the three worlds. So this shows your great compassion. So therefore, if you are so compassionate, you should stay here for a few more days. That's his intention, ultimately. So this is a special request of, we could say, with a little bit of self-interest there in one sense. But again, the self-interest is not real self-interest, because it is natural that the devotee should always strive to associate with the Lord, because therefore he can serve him more and more ways. And that is illustrated later, how the king served him. So the devotee simply desires to increase his service to the Lord. So a request for the Lord to stay is simply a manifestation of that request for more service. So it is, we shouldn't think of this as a selfish type of request on the part of Bahulaswa. He says also that Krishna's intelligence is unrestricted, akunta. Just as Vaikuntha means unrestricted. So Vaikuntha is unrestricted in all ways, because it is spiritual world, it's unlimited. So the Supreme Lord himself, of course, is the source of that unrestricted nature. The Lord is endowed with all Shakti, so therefore he can do the impossible. If the Lord desires, then he can fulfill the wish or the request of King Bahulaswa. Of course, you could say, well, I have to get back because I'm very busy. But of course, we also know the Lord can handle other jobs in so many ways, or he can manifest different forms to do different things. Because of his Shakti, he can fulfill the desire of Bahulaswa and at the same time carry out his other duties without interruption. He's unrestricted in that way, because his Shaktis can allow him to do that. But of course, unrestricted also in the sense that there is no limit to the affection that he shows for his devotees. He'll find new ways of expressing his affection for his devotees that no one could think of. So he's unlimited in his prema for his devotees. So that is maybe we say the ultimate unrestricted nature of the Supreme Lord, or we can say his unrestricted mercy, which is manifest in his pastimes with his devotees in the spiritual world and within the material world. He mentions here about Narayan, who reside in the Himalayas in order to give benediction to the people of this earth. The implication here is that Krishna should also stay in Mithila, and give benedictions to the people in a similar way. Because in the previous verse he mentioned that you come into the Yadu dynasty to deliver the people of the three worlds. So if you stay in Mittala, then you can fulfill that purpose by delivering the people of this particular place. And even though it is one particular place, that does not limit you. You are unlimited, so therefore from this place also you can do your other job of delivering the whole world, just as Narayan are situated in Badrik Ashram, but still they can also deliver the whole world from that particular place. Even if they're in one place, they can actually benefit the whole of the world. So very cleverly Bahulasva expresses his desire through the praise that he gives the Lord. The Lord is unlimited. Lord is very affectionate towards his devotees. Lord is all powerful. Lord is completely distinct from everything else in the material creation. And thus, he should fulfill the desire of Bahulasva and stay so that Bahulasva can serve him with great devotion.
You are saying this, Lord reveals himself according to the qualification of the devotees. Correct, you are saying. And is it the same thing like Lord gives service according to the advancement of the devotees? According to the advancement of the devotees, he gives service?
Generally, we see that. Of course, we have Kripa City or whatever. But in general, according to the devotion, the Lord responds. As you surrender unto me, I respond. So we don't expect that a neophyte Kanishtha devotee is going to have revelation of the Supreme Lord. We do expect it in Bhava and Prema, because the devotee has more bhakti. And of course, in Bhava stage, the Hladini and Samvit Shaktis manifest, so therefore that's a great qualification. You can actually see the Lord because he's qualified to see him, because he has the Shakti of the Lord. Those who are in a previous stages don't have that qualification, so therefore the Lord doesn't show himself. So, and of course, the ultimate quality of the devotee is of bhakti is Krishna Karshani, it attracts Krishna, but that is mentioned in relation to prema. So it is prema that really attracts Krishna. Of course, he's attracted to all devotees, but he's particularly attracted to the prema bhakta, and therefore he falls under his control. So, yes, according to the degree of bhakti, then the Lord responds. So that doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't respond to those who have weak bhakti. He does, but only to that extent that he has some devotion. And those that have no devotion, no response. So the verse says, Lord is merciful to the devotees, those who've developed faith, and then he's indifferent to the karmis and the gyanis and the yogis and the materialists. Completely indifferent. So even if one is a Kanishtha, then the Lord shows some devotion to him. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, these are my devotees, the Arta Arti, the Arti, the Jigasu, and the Gyani. They're all mixed devotees, but still the Lord has some attraction to these. They're my devotees, so therefore there is some. But it's not as intense attraction as we see to the more advanced devotees. So that is also natural. If the Lord acted irregularly, and he gave most mercy to the worst people, and least mercy to the best people, then everyone would criticize that also. So, therefore, it's natural that he'll give more mercy to those who are, and show more affection for those who have more affection. Of course, we can also say that because they're not the lesser people are not qualified, they will not appreciate anyway the Lord's mercy or whatever when he gives it. So, to their capacity, therefore, the Lord responds.
Usually Prahlad, Bandavas, they all have a devotion. Will they try to elevate themselves or they are satisfied with the devotion? Hanuman will not occupy the post of gopis.
Yeah, so they're all on different levels and they have different amounts of association with the Supreme Lord. Of course, if they're at the perfect stage, they're at prema stage, then there's no question of them elevating further, even though we see there are different levels of prema.
Just as there is in Vrindavan, there is Dasyam, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. There is no desire of the Dasas to elevate their position to Sakya, or the parents to elevate themselves to Madhurya Rasa, or, you know. They're all completely satisfied with their particular status, in spite of the fact that those in Madhurya Rasa have the most intense bliss and are in the highest position. Still, the others don't aspire for that position. They're completely satisfied with their particular role in service to the Supreme Lord. And again, if we have the people on in the Vaikuntha planets or in Ayodhya, etc., they're also satisfied with their particular relationship with the Lord, and they don't strive for something else. They're completely satisfied with that. When there is perfection, it is also in various degrees. The devotee is satisfied with that. As far as people doing sadhana, of course, they always aspire for progressing to a higher and higher stage, so that's natural. But even there, their particular type of devotion, they aspire for a particular type of devotion, so that becomes fixed. So they don't keep jumping around from different rasas, etc. They aspire for one. If they jump around a lot, then they don't fix themselves in any rasa and perfection, and that becomes a type of shanta rasa or shanta rati, which is svacha, it's called, a little bit of everything, but not very strong. So one day they have a little bit of Madhurya rasa, a little bit of Vatsalya rasa, a little of Dasya, a little bit of everything, but nothing very strong. That's not considered to be a very high stage, but one can get a type of perfection like that. Or it's described in the Vedanta Sutras that one can worship one form of the Lord, which we generally encourage, or you could worship many forms of the Lord. This is another practice. If you continue that practice of worshiping in many forms, you ultimately have no preference for any of them. So therefore, you can worship them all and have darshan of them all in the spiritual world. But again, it's a very weak type of relationship. So therefore, the rasa is very dilute because of that.
And I find that material world, the sadhana bhakta, he will try to imitate the madhurya bhakta. Like, Lord is speaking to me, he came into my dream. Is it because of emotion, or sometimes devotees come and speak, "Oh, Lord came to me, he told me like this"?
Well, it depends. We see that this is called bhava bhas in one stage, that they may have symptoms that look like higher stage of bhava, even though it's not actually true because they're not qualified for that. But they have certain sentiments that manifest similar type of symptoms. They can advance beyond that and eventually attain bhava, no problem. But at the same time, we discourage imitation, that we should not purposely imitate higher stages. That's not proper.
What about this statement then?
We said that is bhava vasa, and then in the Bhagavad Gita, the Shloka 10th Sutta, that you know, buddhi gam tam, then I give them intelligence. And what? Yeah. How to explain this? Because anyway, Lord is helping them.
Yeah.
Okay, he's giving intelligence so that they can do more and more service.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So how to explain this?
Explain what?
This buddhi yogam, he gives intelligence. Because see, someone is, Lord is reciprocating through by giving intelligence.
Oh.
Correct. How to explain this then?
Well, intelligence, of course, is material. The material buddhi is there. And in itself, it is good for material advancement. Not so good for spiritual advancement, so tarka is discouraged. But if we have devotion, we can utilize intelligence to understand scripture, draw the conclusion of scripture, and practice our devotion. So buddhi transforms its function if we have devotion and faith, proper faith, and provided we go according to the scriptures, then okay, fine. And in the process of doing that, then we find in sadhana bhakti itself that this is not under the gunas. Bhakti does not arise from the gunas, and it's not part of the gunas. Karma yoga and jnana yoga and astanga yoga are part of the gunas. Okay? But a bhakti yoga is not. So the very practice of bhakti and the faith and the attraction for Krishna that develops is all internal shakti of the Lord. Yeah? So therefore that internal shakti will also pervade the mind and the intelligence. So therefore, in that sense, just the shakti itself operates so that we get the proper intelligence to do the proper thing within devotional service, because it's the shakti of the Supreme Lord.
Can you say that also Baba Avaso?
Huh?
Can you say that also Baba Avaso?
Yes.
Baba Avaso, the shadow of Bhava.
No, Baba Bas usually refers to a neophyte devotee who has symptoms like crying and fainting and falling on the floor as if he had bhava, which are those are sattvika bhavas, but actually he's not at that stage where he's got such attraction for the Lord and he's actually seen the Lord, but he develops such symptoms. So that's called bhava bas. So that person can advance by association with devotees and practicing bhakti properly, etc., until he comes to bhava stage. That's got nothing to do with intelligence.
Can there be a saturation point for prema?
No. Well, saturation and such terms are say material concepts. We see the Supreme Lord as Purna. Everything that comes from him is Purna, and still he is Purna. So no matter whatever emanates from the Lord remains full. It's not that we take out, you know, we have a cup and we have some water, we take a little bit out, then there's less water, and then we take more out, there's less water. That's material. With the Lord, he may expend all of his energy, but he is complete energy back. He doesn't expend anything. Yeah. So it's contrary to the material laws of physics or whatever, where you know we exchange energy here or there. He can do so many things, and nevertheless he's completely full. So the same goes for prema and bhakti and all of his internal energies. They're always full. They never get depleted. On the other hand, they have no limit. Everything in the spiritual world is eternal, no beginning, no end, and unlimited. So even the devotee develops the power that anything he desires manifests. Therefore, the spiritual world is completely different from the material world. It's not subject to the same rules. Everything here is our wishes are limited by karma. And by physical nature itself. There's limits to physical objects, etc., a certain size, certain weight, etc., in a certain space, a certain time. Spiritual world, no time, no weight. So, no limits.
Since the jiva also enjoys that unlimited
trip. Yeah.
Examination or classified, but we find that Shanta, Madhurya, whatever devotee, how is he classified? How to know whether this devotee is in this rasa? Do the individual has to determine or a guru?
Well, that's his own experience and his own preference.
He may speculate also, like he may think today I'm in Madhurya too.
Well, it becomes a sthayi bhava, so therefore it becomes permanent, and the sthayi bhava is determined by practice. So as I said, if you practice everything, then you become everything, and you're nothing very strong at all. And if you practice in one direction, then you attain that particular bhava, and that becomes a permanent bhava.
After attaining a particular rasa, should he advertise himself, or he just keeps quiet? Will he tell, I am in this rasa?
Well, they don't have to advertise, because they're completely satisfied with whatever relationship they have with the Lord. That doesn't mean that everybody else has to know about that. It's simply that he recognizes the Lord, and the Lord recognizes him. So there's...
Which means the Shatra, Vipa and Yashoda, Hanuman, so they have a fixed rasa. I think present devotees, I think they can't get Vatsalya Bhava because we can't expect Krishna to be born as a son, present devotees.
Well, they don't have to be exact son, but we see that all the elders in Vrindavan have Vatsalya for Krishna. So all the other elder cowherd people think of Krishna as their child. They can't be personally the son, but nevertheless they think of him as child. And then we have the direct relatives like the uncles and the aunts, etc. Again, so they have Vatsalya Rasa for Krishna.
This question is there that in Kali Yuga, who are the demons? Some devotees ask this question that in Kali Yuga, who actually can be classified as demons?
Well, not only Kali Yuga, anytime, anyone who has an unfavorable attitude towards the Supreme Lord is called a demon. We have many people who have nothing at all. There's ignorance, so that's we don't say they're demons. But those who are hostile to Supreme Lord, concept of the Supreme Lord, all the scriptures that glorify the Supreme Lord, the process of bhakti, etc. These are called the demons. And now, of course, there's various degrees of that as well. Some very inimical, some not so inimical, etc. Yeah, so again, that's envy of the Supreme Lord. Of course, we also say the impersonalists are demons also, because they also say form. God has no form, God is, you know, temporary, etc.
Maras, when you see among the rasa also, sometimes there is a sometime intensity increase, sometimes this is decrease also. Huh? Among the rasa, like, you know, santaras, vatsalyarasa, dasyarasa, asakyarasa, madhurarasa, sometimes the degree of prema increase among the rasa.
Yeah, it goes in different degrees. There's different degrees, like even in Madhurya. So they have rati, prema, sneha, pranaya, man, raga, anuraga, and then mahabhava. And it's not always mahabhava, except for radha. The others will go through different degrees in different pastimes. They may distribute raga or anuraga or pranaya or different levels of intensity within certain pastimes.
This pastime is going on. So Krishna actually expanded into two so that he can go to both of them.
Yeah.
So now this question comes that was it Krishna expanded because they both were very eager to see that Krishna should come to my place, or was it that because they were very eager that Krishna should also go to another devotee? Is this possessiveness of Krishna in spiritual world, like how exactly it is? Is it spiritual competition? Like in material world we have competition. So if we are possessive of someone, we don't want that person to be going to someone else's house because we are possessive.
I can say on their part, because they are devotees, it's not that they're thinking that they don't have a concept of competition in that sense. But at the same time, problem arises. How can Krishna stay with both without leaving one house and going to the other house? That's the basic problem. Now, of course, we see it does happen. Krishna leaves Vrindavan and goes to Mathura and Dwarka. It seems to do so. But then we also answer that by saying, actually, he also came back to Vrindavan and he's staying there also in another form, apricot form. So here's an example where it's not apricot. He's actually in both places simultaneously. Not the only place. We see that also in Dwarka, when Krishna married 16,000 queens, simultaneously he married them, each one in a separate place. And then Vasudeva and Devaki was in each place, and everyone, all the Yadavs were also there. They expanded and they were also in 16,000 places, whatever. So the Lord can do that just to satisfy the individuals, and he can do that simultaneously, whereas normally it's impossible in the material world, which illustrates his extraordinary power, we can say, so that everybody is satisfied. So this creates a solution to the problem of, because it's natural that every devotee would like the devotee to stay with him, and then he can serve him continually.
But the thought process is that, like, I should serve Krishna, or the thought process is that other devotees should also get opportunity to serve? Like, what exactly is the thought process?
Yes, sir?
The thought process of, say, these two devotees, is it that Krishna should stay with me, or they are also wanting, I want to serve Krishna, yet also Krishna should satisfy the other devotee's desire. Let him also serve.
Well, generally, because of association with Krishna, the thought doesn't arise really of other things. So they simply relish that association. We'll see the same in the Rasa Lila. Krishna expanded himself to be with Ishkopi, wasn't it? Ishkopi thought, Krishna should expand himself so that he could be with everybody. It was Krishna's will that he did that. Yeah? And each gopi was thinking, I want to be satisfied with Krishna by personal relationship. And he fulfilled that. And the gopi wasn't thinking, but he should be with the other people also. So more or less they're absorbed in the particular prema of that moment in association rather than thinking of other things.
We also hear Srimati Radharani feels this, that other gopis can serve Krishna better than me, so therefore let them be.
So she has that idea also. But we can say that's at a particular instance, a particular time that arises. Similarly, we'll say that the gopis also are not always thinking that I alone will be with Krishna all the time. Yeah, but in that particular instance, then they're not thinking like that. But at other times, of course, they understand that Krishna should be with other persons as well.
But I think Vishwanatha Chakravarti said something very interesting. He said that there are two bhoolashva, and one is with a separated form, one is with a union.
Huh?
And Vishwanatha Chakravarti said that, there are two bhoolashva and two shutadev. One is separated, one is with union, with Krishna.
Uh-huh.
He said like this.
Who says?
Vishwanatha Chakravarti.
Where?
In that, Sarada Dashwani.
Okay.
He said that there are two bhoolashva and two shutadev.
Okay. Okay.
One is with separated, another is with union.
Where? This time?
Yeah, this time. In a commentary to say.
Oh, okay. Well, he did that in Vrindavan. Yeah. How to identify the rasa to be fixed by sadhana bhakta? Is it spontaneous? By exposure to the pastimes of Krishna, then if you become attracted to a certain type of rasa and certain pastimes of certain devotees, then you concentrate on that. If you're not particularly attracted to him, then you remain just hearing all the pastimes.
Atheists may ask questions like, because Krishna has all the facilities to multiply himself, he can build many houses, simultaneously exist. Even a human being, if he has many facilities, he can also do the same thing. So more richer, more facility a person has, can he also do the same activities in a minute proportion?
What, jivas?
Jivas. Because Lord is saying...
In the spiritual unlimited world they could, but only in relation to Krishna's pastimes. Huh? So we see that the Krishna's in many universes simultaneously, and therefore Yasoda and Nanda and the cowherd boys are all simultaneously in all those different places. So they are expanding. Of course, it's not their will, it's Krishna's will. Huh? So therefore, it can happen that they can do that, but usually it's under the arrangement of the Supreme Lord rather than the individual jiva.